All right, folks. By the way, for those of you who have downloaded our podcast and are listening to us now, obviously you can't call in directly now, but you can send us an email with your question. We should note that next week, April the 5th, we're recording this on at the end of March, on March 29th. April the 5th, we will be on live. And from that point on, should be on live without preemption between 4 and 6 every Saturday afternoon on WJR, 760 AM in Detroit, which is our flagship station. We will continue to be on our affiliates as you're hearing us there. And thank you very much for making us part of your lives and listening to the Internet Advisor. For those of you who want to download our podcasts, simply go to internetadvisor.net. And on Sunday nights, usually I put the podcast up there in the recorded version. You can download it there. And some people, that's how you listen to it all the time. And for those of you who have been enjoying our program while we've been preempted, that's the only way probably many of you have gotten it. Now, we have a number of emails that have come in, and we'll be talking about those in just a little bit. Again, Gary Baker, Ed Riddell, and Cal Carson are in studio here. And I thought we'd go, guys, to some, maybe Eddie, start with you, with a question you received by email that you answered. That was an interesting one about solid-state drives, which a lot of people are moving to nowadays.
A lot of people are moving to them. We had a gentleman that did it about, he said, about 6 months ago, Steve. And he did, and he really enjoyed the performance boost. But then after, I'm trying to think, it looks like maybe a month or so.
Yeah, it wasn't very long.
It wasn't very long that he started experiencing errors. So he took it back to the place he originally purchased it at, and for $60, they looked it over, and they basically determined that his new solid-state hard drive did have errors, and it took 3 weeks for the manufacturer to send him a replacement.
Under warranty. Okay.
Now, so he's had the new one, and then he reloaded the operating system again, and he's continuing to get errors. And the only thing I could think of is possibly he has an older system, and the motherboard just can't handle it. Maybe he has to update the BIOS, on the motherboard.
Guys, is that a general thing when you're going to an SSD that you really need to update the motherboard? BIOS?
BIOS, definitely.
Yeah, I think it was, first of all, I have solid-state drives. We buy them for our whole company.
Oh, okay.
And for all the new ones, right? We're not buying anything that doesn't have solid-state drives. It's just easier, especially on a laptop where you're carrying it around. There's no moving parts.
Right.
They're wonderful. They're fast. They boot up almost immediately. Mm. It's wonderful.
Okay.
We've had very, very few problems. I'll go check, but I don't think we've had any problems with the solid-state drive itself.
And I haven't heard of too many problems with solid-state drive either, but it does happen.
It just seemed to work.
Yeah. And one of Steve's questions
either good
this,
or bad, it sounds like.
Right.
Either good or bad.
So there might be something. If he was this where he put in a retrofit into an existing box that didn't have the... Mm-hmm. So that's probably it. I think you're right.
Yeah. Or there could be the motherboard itself is failing, you know? I mean, that's a possibility, and the problem would not manifest if you had a mechanical drive because, you're talking about very fast communications and where you're waiting on the mechanical drive, right?
Yeah.
Solid states are just, here you go. I mean, their throughput there is probably pushing the limit of the the serial communications.
Yep. Is it possible? Is this a desktop or a laptop?
He doesn't specify.
You know, because if it's a desktop, perhaps maybe you might want to consider doing a different controller card just for the hard drive.
Yeah, good point.
So it would bring it up to snuff. The controller card would handle it at whatever speed it was and then feed it to the main bus of the
motherboard. Is that something you plug in? What's a controller card?
It's just a PC card.
Oh, okay.
Right.
On a desktop, it would just be one of those cards that would go into those slots there in the back.
Right, and by default, those are typically included on the motherboard. But Cal's right, you could buy an optional one, which people do if they want to increase performance or provide RAID capability if their motherboard doesn't currently support.
Right. And RAID is just in backup inside.
A little redundancy capability
now,
built into
it. You had one theory too, Gary, Ed, that he may have, when they backed up the information off one solid-state drive.
I received an email from him right before here. We came on air that basically said they backed up my information, or I had backed up my information, and I had reloaded the operating system from scratch.
And your thought was he may have backed up some junk, may have backed up some broken files.
Well, what I had thought is if his original solid-state drive was failing, and say he took it into the store, if they created an image of that hard drive and then applied it to his new unit, to the new solid state.
G-I-G-O, garbage in, garbage out.
Garbage out, that they probably put some corrupted files back on there, yeah. But he assured me that wasn't the case.
Oh, okay. That's a possibility, folks, too. You need to keep that in mind.
Yes.
Garbage in, garbage out.
Right. So this is a little bit of a mystery. It may be that his laptop just can't handle it. It could be that he did bring over a virus so that maybe there was a favorite downloaded program that he had in his downloads folder, and he reinstalled it after he reloaded the operating system, and maybe that brought a virus in that he wasn't aware he had, or a rootkit. You know, it's really hard to tell.
So what solution did you offer?
One of the things that he asked specifically for was, is there utilities, hard drive utilities, to test to see, how can I see if this hard drive is failing?
Yep.
And you could do it by going to the manufacturer of your solid-state hard drive, and they'll provide you a utility. Or if you find any utility that checks a disk drive's SMART, S-M-A-R-T, characteristics, and then it can give you a diagnosis.
Gotcha.
And most disk utilities are like, will have the ability to scan SMART and see if there's disk errors in there.
And that disk utility, is it one on the OS, or is it something you find, you download?
You have to download. Okay. But that's why I recommend you go to, if you bought a Samsung solid-state drive, go to Samsung's website, download their diagnostic utility.
Gotcha. Excellent. We have some more stuff we're going to be talking about. Matter of fact, Cal, you have some comments on a question about an iPad password problem. We'll talk about it a little later. And coming up in just a moment, we're going to be talking with one of our listeners, Mike, about his particular problem with a Dell. Back with that in just a moment on the Internet Advisor. Before we go any further, I'd like to just to salute the folks behind the glass who make the program work. Thank you very much to Shannon, who is our engineer and helps keep us on the air and keep us all balanced here. And then, of course, Annie Nichols. Thank you, Annie, for being in here. Annie's our call screener and the friendly voice that answers the phone when you call in. And speaking of answering the phones, we have one of our listeners who has sent us an email this week who is on the phone lines with us. Mike, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Thank you.
Glad to have you with us. Now
I'm glad to be with you.
Yeah. Now, you sent in a question about a Dell 17-inch portable that you've had, and you've got a couple of issues on it. And the first one was you've having some problems using your AT&T Yahoo, that's a webmail page, I'm going to guess, right?
Right, it's a kind of a Windows thing.
Okay, and then the other thing is that you are having some problems with Microsoft Security Essentials. You downloaded it, it has worked, but now you're getting some error messages. So let's jump into the first one. And Ed, I don't know, had you talked with Mike at all before about this?
No, I haven't.
Okay, let's see if we can stick our heads in here and figure this out for you. Let's start with the first one, the problem with AT&T Yahoo.
Okay, what do you...
What exactly has been happening?
Well, right now I'm on it. You know, I've got... And it's on there chugging away, giving me information. You know, it's kind of like showing me in the next lake to jump into.
Okay, that's your internet connection you're talking about.
Correct.
Okay, so is your problem that it will break every now and then or just kind of go out on you?
No, what would happen, it would be like an old computer. It would die and be slow. And then if you got it back up, it only part of it came up.
So how do you connect to the internet? Obviously through IT and AT&T. Is it a DSL line? Is it a fiber line? What kind of connection
do you have? I'm on a network with WOW, Wide Open West.
Okay, so you go through WOW, but doesn't WOW connect to the internet for him? Am I right?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's his internet
service
provider, and you're trying to access your legacy, your Yahoo email account, basically.
Right,
yes.
Mike? Okay, so that's what we're trying to parse this out. So your connection to the internet actually depends on WOW. And if it comes and goes, is that probably WOW's problem rather than AT&T?
No, actually, I'm convinced that's not the problem.
Why?
I don't know.
Well, what symptoms make you suspicious?
Well, I'll give you a normal thing right here. I'll get up and do something, go on Facebook or go to a sports page and see what the Tigers are doing or something.
Sure,
like
sure.
That. And I'm tending to believe it's in this Yahoo thing because it doesn't seem to be anything else. It'll start to be typical old computer slowly die, go away.
It just takes a long time for it to happen, huh?
Yeah, it has. Actually, when I got called earlier today, I left it on, And mm-hmm. that's one of the things that causes the problem, too.
So you're on for a while.
It was on for several hours. It came home, and it seems to be working fine, totally. That's because I called you, I'm sure.
That's your taking to mechanic. Okay.
So I guess my question is how? What are you using as a gauge to determine if it's slow or not? Are you talking about when you browse the internet that it appears to be slow, or when you're only trying to retrieve mail?
No, it's everything.
Okay, everything.
So when you say it's everything, it's no matter where you go, whether it's a website or you're actually entering your mail, it really is slow. We just want
to make sure. Right, I got to do the famous old reboot.
Okay,
but for everywhere.
Is this a laptop or a desktop computer?
It's a laptop.
Laptop.
What I'd like you to do, how old is it?
It's about 2 years old.
And he's running Windows 7, by the way.
Yeah, I'm on 7, and I ain't touching 8.
You know, you can correct me, Ed, but I'm smelling a hard drive problem here.
Really?
I think maybe he might have, he may have some problems with the hard drive where sometimes it's not reading very effectively. And, as he's doing functions and that sort of thing, you may be using that, space on a hard drive for swapping. And maybe it's hitting an area that's having some issues.
I was thinking a hard drive or viruses act this way, or malicious software or Trojans that are on your computer.
So, or multiple copies of, two virus protection programs running on there as well.
Well,
if I go look right now, it'll show that the programs on my computer,
mm-hmm.
but I don't see it.
You said...
If I look at a list of the applications I have, that thing's right in there.
Okay.
Now what do you mean, that thing? That's what I don't get what you're talking about.
I'm talking about the Microsoft software.
Microsoft Security Essentials?
Yes.
Okay. Well, one of the things I would recommend is that if you don't already have it, download and install a program called Malware Bytes.
Say that again.
Malware Bytes.
M-E-L?
M-A-L. If you go to our website, internetadvisor.net,
right,
and then at the top, at the toolkit, you'll see a link there, and then there's anti-malware software.
Okay.
The one of the programs,
Malbats, right?
Malware Bytes, BYTES.
And be sure to use the download link that Ed has, because it'll avoid a lot of problems.
It's an additional program that you can use to scan your computer. It works along with your antivirus program, which happens to be Microsoft Security Essentials, you said. And you can use Malware Bytes to scan your computer because it may find something that Microsoft Security Essentials did not find. Now, to get back to what Cal said, a possible hard drive failure. He's right. It could also be a hard drive that's failing.
Now, there's a utility he can run, right?
Microsoft does not provide an easy way to find if your disk drive is failing.
How about Dell, though? But doesn't F12 on the Dell bring you up the diagnostics?
Yes, I just went through the, checking for errors, open areas in my disk.
Okay. Well, yeah, but that's not the same. You have to use a utility.
Right.
Go ahead. What were you going to say, Gary?
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, in order to check your hard drive for errors, you open up My Computer, and when you go to My Computer, you'll see your C drive, your disk drive, and you want to right mouse click on that and select properties. So you want to select the properties of your C drive.
Okay, I've shut the picture down.
Well, Mike, what we're going to suggest is you download this afterwards and listen to it again. That'll help you, I think.
Yeah, I think it will.
Okay.
Cal may have hit it. And what I saw, I just went back and reread your email, Mike, and it said that you downloaded Microsoft Security, and we assume that's Microsoft
Security Essentials.
Correct. It also says you have AVG software, which is another antivirus software.
Correct.
So if you have two, they could be in contention.
Ah.
Yeah, you only need one.
So
okay. Right. So, good point. Good point.
Yeah, I think if you were to remove one or the other, I think both are good. I probably keep the Microsoft Security Essentials since you have it on.
Right.
And remove
the AVG.
Now you do that by uninstalling, and it'll take you a couple times because of the way that's installed.
Right.
Okay.
You will have to. The problem.
I'm familiar with that.
Okay.
Yep. So uninstall it, boot down, boot back up, boot down again. So
now, Mike, one other thing I'm going to suggest to you. Ask a question. How many browsers do you have on your computer?
Define browsers.
That's what you use to get on the Internet. In this case, Internet Explorer.
Correct.
Okay.
And I have tried to get...
Chrome?
No, I don't like Chrome.
Well, or Firefox would be another one,
Firefox,
too.
Firefox,
okay.
Yeah. But that's not working properly, so I don't...
That isn't working properly. See, because one of the things we tell people is have two browsers, so if you have a problem with one, go to another one, okay,
yep.
And see if the same problems are happening. Sounds like you've done that already?
I've done part of that. I can get... Firefox up, I've got to go... It's not like push a button and it comes up, more or less like Microsoft does. I've got to go in there and set it all up. And then it'll work until I shut it down. Then I've got to go through that again.
Okay, something else is going on here. But anyway, I think we've given you a number of kind of things to use to diagnose your program a little further, okay? And
okay.
Giving you some options here. So what I would suggest, Mike, is then when we leave the phone here, when our podcast comes out, that you just download this segment of the program, go to the second half of the podcast, and download this particular segment and listen to some of the things that the guys have given you. And you can go through it then step by step and not have to try to take notes on the fly like we're doing right now.
I can do it on the phone like I am right now.
Now, you can hear our conversation again on the phone. That's what you can do.
So
I have to leave you right now because we're going into a break.
But hang on and we'll talk to
you. You hang on the phone. We'll talk to you in just a second, okay, off the phone. But otherwise, you can download it later on. And we can then get back to you and help you with that as well. Coming up in just a minute, we're going to be talking with another one of our listeners and answering some other questions here on the Internet Advisor. Welcome back to the Internet Advisor. We're trying to answer some of your questions, and we've had some folks who have emailed us during the last week. Lots of folks, as a matter of fact, with questions about their computers and some problems that they're having with them. And we answer those questions as best we can during the week. But also, we love talking with you folks. So we'd like to welcome somebody else to the program right now. And that is Eleanor, who is with us right now. And Eleanor from, I can't see what it is, Northville. Oh, Eleanor from Northville. Welcome to the program. How are you doing, Eleanor? Eleanor, do we have you up? I'm sorry. Did I get the right button on, folks? Eleanor, are you still there? Hello, Eleanor. All right, I'm going to have Annie, we're going to check her out, make sure that she's still there. She has a question for us. Cal, while we're waiting for Eleanor to get back up,
I'm on the line.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
Oh,
there you are.
Hi.
Oh, I didn't hear you for a second there. Okay, Eleanor, we want to make sure that we talk with you. Now, you sent us an email, and you are going to be sending a computer back to be recycled at Best Buy. Am I right?
That's what I planned on doing,
okay.
And I didn't know what the hard drive was, or
yep.
I got some instruction on that online, so now I know what it looks like.
Okay, and you want it? Your question is, I'm going to put this back in, I'm going to recycle it essentially, and I want to make sure that all of my stuff is off of there, right?
Right.
So nobody can get at your pictures and address books and whatever else important documents you have.
Exactly.
So I got some guys here who may be able to help you. You won't have to tear the machine apart and look at any parts. I think we can get some help for you there. Cal?
Okay.
Hi, Eleanor. How you doing?
Good.
That's great to hear. Hey, listen, Eleanor, you can't take that machine back to Best Buy. They won't take it with that hard drive in it. Because even though you go ahead and erase it, they'll go like, oh, no, we don't want to have any liability for anything that could possibly be on that hard drive. So you have two choices. You can do number one, grab a screwdriver, open it up, and pull that hard drive out of that device and then just destroy it on your own. Or you can find one of your local independent computer shops in your area who can pull that hard drive out for you, and then you can dispose of the rest of it in the appropriate fashion. But if you take it to Best Buy, they won't take it if you have a hard drive in it.
Will the Geek Squad remove it?
Yeah, but for an aggressive,
probably
for an aggressive fee. But she can call ahead and ask.
Yeah, no,
I think I could even manage getting it out. Mark.
I know you.
Hey, listen, have you got an enterprising grandson or granddaughter who could do it for you?
I have a daughter that's probably pretty well versed in it.
There
that
you
could
go.
Probably do it, but
there you
I
go.
Think I'll give it a try first.
Oh, okay. Hey, all right. Good for you, Eleanor. Are you going to say something?
Just make sure, Eleanor, when you do give it a try, make sure you have all the power cords disconnected from the unit first.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you can safely go about doing whatever you want to that particular device, because you don't have to worry about breaking anything while you go into it, because they're going to recycle it anyway.
Yeah, don't have to worry about it anymore.
No.
We just don't want you to be shocked.
Hey, guys, by the way, along those lines, when you're going to go into a computer, you unplug it, the power cord, and did I understand that it's also good to press the start button then to discharge the capacitors?
I was not aware of that particular one.
Am I right? Didn't I hear that sometime?
What's that?
For safety, that when you pull the cord on a power plug on at a computer and you're about to go into the insides of it, to press the start button to discharge the capacitors?
On laptops, that's the case. I guess you wouldn't hurt.
Yeah, just to make sure there's nothing in to give you a poke. That's all we're concerned about.
Oh, there won't be enough residual power anywhere in there.
Okay, good. I was being a little overcautious. And sometimes, you know, we don't want you to tear up your knuckles when you're going in there either. But the hard drives usually are pretty obvious, and the connectors in the back of them come out pretty easily. And usually then it's a matter of like two or three screws on the side that keep it fixed into the computer bay.
Well,
and you just slide it forward or backward and it comes out.
Some of the newer ones, like on some of the Dells and that sort of in HPs, the hard drive is actually mounted on some plastic rails. They're usually a bright green on a Dell. You squeeze them together and the thing just slides out.
Oh, good.
You just connect the wires from
it. Yeah, but it's a newer one. How old is the computer?
About 8 years old.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't be probably that.
She might find one on those, because they did have them that way on the Dells and the Gateways.
I'm curious, by the way, what are you going to be, are you going up to a new computer?
I am, but I am so confused about what I want.
Let us help you, girl. Let us help you now. What have you been thinking about?
Well, my daughter has a Toshiba laptop.
Yes.
And she swears by it. She loves it.
Good.
Well, let me ask you this question. When you look at that laptop and you look at the screen, does the screen look big enough for you? I mean, you know, you sound like a vintage woman. So
yeah.
Nicely done, Cal.
So are your eyes still working good enough where you look at that small laptop screen, you're comfortable?
Well, I don't have a problem with the small screen that I have. It's about a 15-inch now.
Okay.
So
that's good. That's good. Good size.
So then I would really think about a laptop.
Now, watch out for Toshiba. Toshiba, I believe, is stopping and making their... Didn't we hear that?
No, that was Sony.
That was Sony. I beg your pardon. Thank you.
You want, like your daughter, you want one that you can swear by, but not to swear at?
Right.
But I think a lot of the manufacturers today make really decent laptops.
I think the smartest thing she can do is get your daughter to drive you or go with you, or you drive her either way, to the store and a place where they have multiple laptops and touch them, feel them, look at the screen, see how it feels when you type on it, see how it feels when you use a little trackpad, see how it looks when you look at the screen, and then make your decision after you've done that, because the ergonomics of that laptop make all the difference between enjoying that experience and not enjoying it, because 8.1 is going to run just as well on a bad laptop as it does on a good laptop, but you want to be comfortable.
Well, and especially if she's going to be thinking about using a laptop where her previous unit was a desktop, she's going to have to get used to the keyboard.
Yes, a different paradigm switch.
But yes. I think you'll really enjoy the laptop.
And I will never... I can't say this. I wish I didn't buy this laptop. I love laptops with backlit keyboards.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. And this Lenovo, I wish I would have spent a little bit more time researching it. It does not have a backlit keyboard. I love
my
backlit keyboard.
What do you think of suggesting a touch screen?
I was just going to say that. Eleanor, I think that if you're going to go to an 8.1.
Windows 8.1.
Windows 8.1, that you are going to want a touch screen.
Touch screen? Okay.
Yeah. So you can touch it and just use your finger and move it and move things around almost like a mouse would do.
Now, Helen, go ahead. I was going to say
the reason for that is that the Windows 8.1 operating system really is meant to be a touchscreen operating system.
Right.
Okay.
And I think you'll be less pleased with it. It's going to be a learning curve anyway.
Yep.
You might as well learn the new way of computing.
And I think, Eleanor, let me give you, I have to speak a little heresy among my tech commentators. I think for us older users of computers, especially, that Windows 8 is marvelous because it simplifies the experience in some ways of using a computer with those wonderful colored tiles in the modern user interface.
Well, and that
because you can limit the number of tiles that are there to the ones that you use, and all you got to do is reach out and, on a touchscreen, where you reach out and touch it, and your mail comes up, and you'll find another way to reach out and touch it, and your Facebook comes up, reach out and touch it. And in other words, you'll find that eventually it is much easier to use than a lot of the other systems where you ought to work through a...
In that particular case, screen. If you're going to endorse the touchscreen interface, I would say make sure you take a look at some of the all-in-one desktop units that have a touchscreen on it. I think you'll love the nice big screen. I think you'll love the having that area That's where true. You have plenty That's of room true. To move your hand around when you do use the touch interface. But, you know, this is the reason why it's very important to go to the store and shop it, feel it, and get comfortable with it before you make your decision.
Right.
Yeah, it's a very good idea. Yeah. I never thought about owning a all-in-one.
Yeah, that's another. By the way,
that would sit right on my desk where my old desktop and...
Yep.
The only reason you'd want the laptop is if you maybe spend, you know, any significant amount of time somewhere else.
The breakfast table.
Visiting
like that.
Family on vacation, home.
She has a beautifully maintained home, and she has a space just for her computer, and that's
exactly.
where she works.
There you go. Cal's
right again.
Now, Eleanor, here's what I'm going to suggest. You live in Northville. I want to suggest that you go to 12 Oaks, the mall that's not too far from you there.
Nope.
Microsoft has one of their superstores there, their flagship stores there. And when you get in that store, you'll get a chance to work on all of the Microsoft equipment that's in there and on all of the other OEMs. And they have a beautiful section just with all-in-ones.
And there's also an Apple store there.
I was going to say.
Make a consideration that way, too.
Apple is there as well. So both of those stores.
Well, that would be something else I'd have to learn, right?
Well,
Apple compared to the Microsoft.
Well, both of them have training programs, by the way, in their store. Both of them have training programs. So especially for an older user who's moving either to Mac, which is a completely different system. Took me a year and a half to get to it. And then somebody else who's maybe faster can do it.
Foster's a slow learner.
I'm a slow learner. Microsoft, at their stores, also have their own kind of genius bar, and you have plenty of places you can get your hands in the equipment. So have fun, okay,
Eleanor? Best Buy is nearby.
And Best Buy as well.
Well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
I really enjoy your show, and I appreciate the help.
Oh, you're very welcome, Eleanor. We had a delight having you with us so much. Take care of yourself. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap things up with another answer here on the Internet Advisor. Thank you so much for being part of the Internet Advisor Group, downloading our podcast. And for those folks who are on our affiliates, we really, really appreciate you listening to us every week. And by the way, want to make sure that you understand, if you're listening to us on an affiliate, that you can get your questions into the program as well. You don't have to be where you have to, you know, you can do a live call-in. Every week we answer questions over email, like the one that Cal is going to tackle in just a moment. And the way we do that is by you come to internetadvisor.net, our homepage, go to the Contact Us button, and when you get there, put your email address in, your phone number, and give us an idea of what your issue is, and we will do our very best to get back to you during the week to answer the question.
Hey,
and
Foster, would it be out of line to say, hey, call your affiliate and say you want to hear the Internet Advisor live?
There you go. There you go.
Why not? Why not? We'll be more than glad to come to you every Saturday,
that's
live
right.
and in living color.
That's right. By the way, next week, which is going to be, we're recording this on March the 29th, so April the 5th, we will be back on live. And what is our regular slot, which is from 4 to 6 p.m. on WJR 760 AM. That's our flagship station in Detroit, where we do take live calls. But our affiliates, of course, will be hearing us as they do every week on their schedule. All right, Cal.
Yes.
Since you spoke up, we had an email that came in. Actually, it was an answer to a question we had had beforehand. And I just want to kind of run it by you. A fellow named John had called and said he could receive email but not send it on his iPad. And Tom Beach sent an email in, and he said, this happened to me on my iPad and iPhone when I changed my password. He said, most people don't know, but there's a separate incoming and outgoing password. I didn't know that. When the first setting up, they use the same one. But if you change your password, it only changes the incoming. You must change both separately in settings. Your thoughts, sir?
That depends on what sort of mail that you're set up for, because some mail providers or ISPs will say they will use the same incoming password for your outgoing mail as well. Mm-hmm. But if you happen to have the type of setup that requires separate ones, then in that particular case, he is true. You have to go in and change both of them.
Both of them.
So
I never knew there
the
were two. I've never run into two passwords.
Well, you know, I can't remember whether it's a difference between, I know with Exchange Mail, you don't have to do it. I think it's with PopMail. PopMail you have to do it that way, but I'm not really sure. I'll have to do some more investigation.
Is that the one where they protect it with SSL?
Yes. And then there'll even be a little feature in there, or a checkbox that says, you use the same password going in as you do going out? Mm. In that particular case, yeah, you'd have to be mindful of that.
Yeah, and he went through and he said you select the mail account, go to the outgoing mail server, primary server. Midway down is outgoing mail password area. In this area, you put the new password. And that is the new password, I guess, that you've used then for creating this account?
The one that you've probably changed. For example, if you changed the password on your email account through the web at your provider or something like that, then you have to make sure it's changed on any device that would check for an email
password.
Now,
this goes back with Apple to Keychain, am I right?
This is not just Apple. This is just with any particular email account that deals with that type of thing.
Okay. Very good. Thank you very much, Tom. And thank you, Cal, for the comment. Hey, Eddie, we had somebody who called, kind of an interesting question. Is there any way, this is from, came in from one of our listeners. Hi, our church pastor likes to use short clips from movie DVDs to set the stage for his sermons periodically. I believe this is legal as long as they are short and not used for financial gain. Can you suggest some software, free or not too expensive or easy to use?
I don't think it is legal. Just because you're a nonprofit doesn't mean you could do that. Right. And I mean, look, you can't even publicize the NFL or baseball or anything without explicit written consent.
Folks, we have to say this, folks. Yeah, we don't believe that you can take any copyrighted material, no matter what the length of the clip is.
Right.
And use it.
I mean, even our township has to get special permission if they wanted to show Lion King in the outdoor venue at the Brandon, and they wanted to broadcast it. They would have to, they actually have to pay a company that gets permission to do that.
You're saying in the case of broadcasting, but.
Not broadcasting, just to put it outside for hundreds of people in the community to watch.
To rebroadcast.
Because I was thinking if the church owned a DVD of, Driving Miss Daisy, and they wanted to take apart a clip to start a sermon with, I don't think that would be a problem with that.
That's true, but he wants to be able to copy that content and compile it. He wants to be able to strip out that portion and this clip.
Take
the clip out. And you can't without breaking the copyright protection.
Without breaking the copyright protection or without getting in contact with the owner of that particular piece of media and saying, hey, I'd like to be able to use this. Can I have the permission?
Well, but the problem is now, I think under the act that came out, the protected copyright, I forget what it was. But anyway, but that is a real issue to me.
It is
a real issue. If I own the blasted thing and I want to take a clip out of it for whatever purpose, it should be my property to use. I don't see why I can't do
that. You know, the same thing. They don't want you doing that.
I know.
So wait a minute. Somebody could take your voice off of this radio station and be able to use it?
No, they don't own this broadcast. But if they owned the DVD of a movie, for instance, they paid 19 whatever it is for the movie.
Yeah,
wouldn't it be okay for them? Wouldn't it be okay for you to take that and, family birthday party, use a clip of the movie?
You know what? Probably nobody is going to be coming to your house to see if you did that. But is it a violation of the copyright? Absolutely it is.
Okay.
Absolutely it is.
It's in the text. You do have the right, when you buy a DVD, to make a copy of the DVD as a backup copy. Yep. But it has to be whole and in part, not broken up.
Right.
That's a good point.
Having said all of that, yes, there's software out there that can help you to do that. I think on the Apple, it's Handbrake, isn't it, that you can use for...
Handbrake works both on Windows and Mac.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah, they make a version for both.
So we're just saying that yes, there's software out to do that free and easy, but legally, no, it's copywritten, and you have to...
Without permission.
Yeah, without permission.
Exactly.
Thank you.
If it's for your church, you might be able to get away with it. But
Gary...
And if you're not going to... You know, if you're not doing this for financial gain... Sure.
You know, Gary, it's interesting you mentioned that, because now I remember, in terms of church music, you have to be very careful with copyrights. Mm-hmm. Church music organizations that like the scripts, like your Easter presentation or Christmas presentations, they have to buy the rights to use those things.
Oh, and it's even the music. It gets so bad.
Well, that's what I mean, the music.
Even the music. You cannot make photocopies of the of the music.
Of the score.
Of the score. You cannot. You have to buy extra copies.
Yes. Because when you think about it, really, does a church not do something that's not going to be a financial gain? They're going to pass the plate at the end of the game.
Good point.
I should say, Ed, one final thing here. Gentleman has a Lenovo Yoga 2 11 notebook. He's unable to boot from a USB device.
Yes.
USB is enabled, and fast boot is disabled in the BIOS. The user guide says to enable legacy support in the BIOS boot section, but all I have is the UEFI option.
So I replied back to that person, and UEFI is a new version, unified. Oh, I can't remember. I can't even remember what
the BIOS
for.
Isn't it?
It's basically a new version of the BIOS, right?
I got you.
And what you should be able to go into most modern laptops that support this and say, go to legacy USB mode. He's claiming that he cannot. So when I researched it, if you go to the manufacturer's website, Lenovo, and you could download a BIOS update, it should work there.
Okay.
I mean, download it updated via a BIOS update, apply it to your unit. You should be able to find that, the ability to do that.
Is copying USB an issue with the Windows 8? Has anybody seen that come up?
What's that?
Copying USB, using a USB to boot on a Windows.
Oh, yeah. It's a big problem, and you have to enable this legacy USB mode to boot to it.
So that's a very important point. And again, folks, what you could do is download our podcast and pick up some of these things later on. If you didn't catch this right away on Sunday nights after we do our programs here in the afternoon, I make sure that we've got the podcast up there so you can clip this particular part out. Gary, Ed, Cal, thank you so much. We look forward to being back with you folks again live on our regular program time, which is from 4 to 6 p.m. on our flagship station, WJR, this coming weekend. That's April the 5th. Until then, thank you so much for joining us. And for all of us who joined us on our affiliate stations, we are delighted to be able to be with you as well. Take care. Have a good week. And don't forget, InternetAdvisor.net is where you'll find us 24/7.
You've been listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor Show, Detroit's longest-running, locally produced computer show with Foster Brown, Gary Baker, and their team of experts. For more information about our weekly show, to ask a question of our experts, or to find the show notes for this podcast, visit www.internetadvisor.net and look for us on Facebook. Thanks for listening.